Morning.
It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. Cynthia, good morning. You got to sit through all that.
You know, I have to say, even though I know you worry about it every week, that doesn't happen that often.
No, it seems like it does.
Congratulations.
It's kind of when an uncle comes to visit you all the time.
And PTSD.
It might only be twice a year, but it seems like it's all the time.
But you're just here.
Just like forever, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll start right off here on the front pages of the Lakeville Journal. And I have to laugh a little at the headline. Housing hearing closes after 4 more hours of discussion. By Patrick
Sullivan, who's been so great at listening to every word that's said and to respectfully, you know, understanding and absorbing everybody's concerns about the proposed affordable housing project in Salisbury it's been very hard for him. And I'm sure for everybody else on all the sides, it's a very emotional conversation, as happens in the Northwest corner, I think maybe especially in Salisbury, although we have another story inside about a similar situation in Cornwall, of all places. But the Salisbury Affordable Housing public hearing was finally closed after its last meeting. And Patrick does a very good job of summarizing, as he has been doing. And, of course, people can go to tricornernews.com to read about what concerns are. But mostly what it is, it's just there's one group of people that are concerned about having it. There's one group of people that are concerned that if we don't have it, that we're going to have challenges going forward, especially at this time when it's really hard to find housing all over America. It's just like all of a sudden a million new people entered the world from a parallel universe, and they all have cash and want houses. There's just nothing to buy or rent right now. So a moment when we really can see how essential it is to have affordable housing, but at the same time, legitimate concerns from people who live around the lake and, you know, drive by there, worried about the traffic, worried about safety. So the planning and zoning now has a tough decision ahead of them on whether or not they will grant the permits for this.
And they face the unenviable task of, no matter what decision they make, there'll probably be lawsuits that come out of it. That's the whole thing. It turns into a vicious cycle that just is self-repeating. So hopefully that won't happen, but we'll see.
And then a similar related story is the proposed tower that would go on the Wake Robin Inn property in Lakeville. So the Lake Group is now also gearing up to fight very hard against that. Although many people privately have said to me around the lake and in that neighborhood, boy, we could really use some cell service. It's interesting that one of the most affluent parts of Salisbury really has no service. But, you know, then again, those are people that can afford to get a booster if they choose to do that. So,
and also the Connecticut Siting Council has a lot to say about that as well. So that's it's one of those hot topic issues. Everybody wants cell phone coverage. Everybody wants to be able to get 4 or 5G service, but nobody wants it around them. And that's just the way it is. Good
and
story.
And then down in Kent, they had the similar thing that's been going on for a couple of years, which is they're looking to put a tower in. The Siting Council gave approval of it in December, and as you say, the lawsuits began in January and are ongoing.
The good news is that in North Canaan, the FEMA conducted COVID-19 vaccination took place. They had to change at the last minute from the vaccine that they were going to use to a new one, but it went off like clockwork and actually served a lot of people. And they are going to come back for your second shots.
Great news, especially for my daughter, who's in the little yellow jacket in the photo with the green socks. And you can see in the background Charlie Parati leaning against the wall. He was out there all afternoon making sure that things went well. And so, of course, I was so delighted that my daughter was going to be able to get the one-shot Johnson & Johnson, which is what I had. But there were concerns, and literally on the day before that vaccine was scheduled, the clinic was scheduled, they decided they would not be allowing the Johnson & Johnson to be used until they can really look into this small but, you know, meaningful issue of the blood clots. So they switched at the last minute to Pfizer. We were very impressed that the federal government was able to hinge so quickly and that they were able to get Pfizer vaccine. And at the time, they said, you should have your second shot by May 5th. Good luck getting that. We won't be back. But hard work and being aware of people's needs, the truck is going to be coming back. We don't have notification yet on when that's happening, but the experience that we had with this first clinic on the 14th makes us feel like they're going to come through for us.
Yeah. And then a different story on COVID-19 by Deborah Alexander's COVID-19 cases, a breakthrough, rare but here.
Right. Deb had just been checking in, as she does, on the nursing homes and how numbers are doing, and had noticed that there were a few cases that had popped up at GEAR. GEAR has been very, very open and honest about what's been going there on their campus. They had 8 breakthrough cases, or 8 cases, I think 6 of them were breakthrough. 2 of them were for people who had chosen not to get the vaccination for, you know, personal reasons. But the cases were very mild. They actually wouldn't have known that they had these cases, except for the fact that they're testing them constantly, staff and residents there. So a happy ending in the sense that certainly not the kind of impact that we saw at this time last year from the COVID cases.
Now, let's move to the southern part of our area. Lila Hawken, this story interested me when by the way, folks, I get the newspaper online, so I'm one of those people that loves the online edition of the newspaper. Lila's story on 2 nonprofits in Kent who have restored funding due to federal grants.
I like that you call Kent the Southern District. I was thinking, like, do you mean New Milford?
No.
But yes, Kent is the southernmost part of our coverage area and a really interesting town. And every year in their budgets, they go through some very interesting exercises. And, you know, there was a year when they were having a lot of conversation about salaries for employees at Town Hall, and they really spent a couple years trying to untangle it, and we did not hear that this year. But what did come up was there were semi-parallel requests from the volunteer fire department and from the public library. And especially now in COVID, people are very aware of how valuable the public libraries are. And the Kent Memorial Library in particular is a very active library. They do a lot of really interesting programs. And then, of course, the fire department. Like, nobody's going to argue that the fire department is essential. So they'd come in with different funding requests. The boards had discussed bringing the one request from one down, but bringing the other one up. And so now they've... because of grants, they're looking at shifting that around. So next week, we're going to have an article in the paper just sort of laying out for people what the budget process is, especially for people who are newer to the area. It's really important to understand what's going on with these, what seem to be on the surface, fairly boring budget conversations. These budgets impact your life every day, so people should definitely pay attention.
You know, I wanted to mention this during their story about housing, but how bad is housing in this area? If you look at page A3 at the Lakeville Journal, there's an ad. Hotchkiss School is seeking house rentals for new faculty hires, and if you look at the ad, it gives everything somebody who would want to rent a house. The security of knowing that Hotchkiss School is behind it and everything else. That ad itself explains how serious of a housing crisis we have in our area.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, because last week that ad was in the classified section, yeah. And this week they felt it was important enough to move it right into the main body of the paper. And it's tough. Right now there's not a lot of rentals, and what rentals there are going for exceptionally large amounts of money. And Hotchkiss is being very specific on what they want. They're not, you know, it's going to be hard for them to find what they need in there. But I think that, again, if we had affordable housing here.
It shows you exactly how bad it is when you add the crisis of the pandemic, people moving in the area, people renting their houses out for vacation with Airbnb and other things like that. It leaves virtually no rental units available for people of any means, never mind lower means or affordable housing. Any means, it's for rent. It's a problem, and it's got to be looked at head on. Mm-hmm. A couple of events coming up for Earth Day, which I want to talk about. And of course, Millerton's got a whole weekend worth of activities, but also there's going to be a vigil in front of the White Hart on Earth Day as well, as today is actually Earth Day, but it's still in.
It's snowing.
How about yesterday, where we had temperatures in the 60s, the thunderstorms, the tornado warning, and then it started snowing at my house, and then the sun came out, all within an hour.
And hail, too. Don't forget the hail, okay?
Oh, did you get the hail?
Yeah.
That's right. I forgot. I left the hail out of that. That's right.
Yeah. But it was so beautiful out. I was out taking pictures all afternoon. It was an extraordinarily beautiful day. Following, let's say, the double rainbow from a couple days ago when we were on deadline. But I was, you know, as I drove here to Falls Village to our office, there's some really epic tree damage that's going on out there.
So. The two big stories out of Cornwall, and they are kind of related, the P&Z meeting on home business regulations, and then, of course, the town report and more will be coming up on the 23rd. But Cornwall has a lot of news coming out of it lately.
Yeah, and Leila's doing a great job of covering it. But again, this home business regulation is something that, and Cornwall is very open for the most part. And Anna Tamel, who's the chairman, had said in the excellent Cornwall Chronicle article about this, and Leila's is also very thorough, as you can see, people are working more at home. They wanted to change the regulations. They thought that this was going to be something that everybody in town would welcome, and they were shocked by how much blowback they got. So very thoughtful article by Leila covering exactly what was being discussed in terms of home business regulations and how they're trying to resolve it. Their town report and presentation's coming up. Their town budget meeting is coming up. And some exciting movement in the West Cornwall Village, where you have William Betts, the artist, is planning to open up some space. You have the new sporting goods shop. There's the talk of the new pizza place that's opening up. A lot going on in West Cornwall.
Yeah, nice little story about spring sports back at Housatonic, and there's limited restrictions, but it's nice to see the students back out on the field and being able to enjoy playing sports, which they've missed for a long time.
Right. Hunter Lyle, a graduate of Housatonic and a recent journalism major graduate of University of Connecticut. Or is he University? But he loves writing about sports, and he is and has done a nice update for us. Somebody's just walked in.
Hi.
That's right. Oh, she's in the office. That can happen.
That way. Well, go left at the little triangle and keep going. You can't miss it. It's a big...
Somewhere's lost.
So I'll take this opportunity to say GPS doesn't work there at Route 7.
That was exciting. Usually people come here looking for gear. I think there's something that happens on GPS that sends people who are looking for gear. But that was Mountainside. Anyway, and so also for sports, looking for paddle tennis court in Cornwall. It's surprising, actually, that they haven't had a paddle tennis court in Cornwall before, which is a very racket sporty kind of a town. Todd Piker, who's a championship tennis player, is hoping also to teach junior tennis there. And then in Sharon, ironically, the meeting about broadband communications was canceled last night because of the storm. I don't think there was a ton of power outages, but there were certainly some.
You know what's interesting about the broadband committee meeting, and it's been rescheduled, by the way. I think it's either today or tomorrow where they're going to have it. It's a Zoom meeting. But they are looking for funding to look into things. But also, they have contacted me and other people that have the brand new 1 gig internet service by Comcast, and also I'm now awaiting the arrival of my Starlink equipment. They want reports from me how is the 1 gig service working for me, and also they want reports once I hook the Starlink up to see how that works and see what the total expenses come. So they are looking at building a wired system, and they are looking into other options. I think this commission, and they're taking a lot of public input. I think they're going to do a lot of good with the way they're approaching this in Sharon.
Yep. Completely agree. Yeah, I'm so glad that they're watching what you're doing and others.
And others, they're just, they're taking as much information, and they're not leaning on one thing over another thing, which is really great. Actually, other town committees have not done that, but they are. So it'll be interesting to see how it all progresses. We have about 9 minutes left. I want to go, first of all, to the opinion page, the editorial. It's time to build.
Right. Because we're coming up on the decision for Salisbury on their proposed affordable housing, we thought it was time also to editorialize about this once again. We've been consistently editorializing about affordable housing in this area over years and believe firmly that it is time to start some projects and get things going, because now is the time in that things can be lost. People who are beneficial to this area can be lost, because they don't have an opportunity to find a place to live, and it will change these communities drastically if they don't find a way to accommodate people.
Yeah, this is such a... It has come to a head, and yes, look at Falls. Every time there's an application for housing, it leads to legal ramifications, that it leads to delays.
Yeah, everything leads to legal ramifications. Yeah. You know what? It's time to look at the human element here. Yeah. And, you know, if people like data, we have plenty of that for them to look at. Patrick has kept track of that in his articles on this, and I repeat some of this data in this editorial. North Canaan is the only town that has 10% affordable housing of the Region 1 towns. The rest are below 2%. Yeah. And it's time to look carefully about what you would like your community to look like in 5 years.
And just imagine in 5 years if you have to pay for professional ambulance service and pay for professional fire service. This is how far it spreads. It's amazing. And even when you see the Hotchkiss School seeking, yeah. I mean, it all ties together as this is no longer the canary in the coal mine. It's beyond that.
No, the pricing of housing since the pandemic has increased exponentially. The price of houses, Cynthia can speak to this too, of course, but it has just increased to the point where it pushes more and more people out of the area, and people will be missed to help these communities function and keep this area vibrant.
Okay, before we get on to your columns, once again, lots of different letters on everything from volunteers to talking about the Prince, a Salisbury Volunteer Ambulance Squad, and more. Lots of different letters.
Lots of different letters, and we're really happy to have a couple. We had more than a couple, but we were able to publish a couple from boys at the Salisbury School in Salisbury, and they are writing about housing in the area and how they experience the area and why they think affordable housing is or is not really important.
And on your Viewpoint page, of course, Peter Steiner's cartoon, but two very interesting stories. The one about Republicans must unite for the party's and the nation's good. If we're ever going to survive this bizarreness that's going on, we need two strong parties that represent two different ideas that can then negotiate and meet in the middle.
That's for sure. This is Dick Ollis, who we're so glad to have writing for us, and this is key to our society right now. And he lays out the reasons why and how it can be done. But, if we don't look at the bigger picture and how we want this country to go forward, there will be ramifications for that, too. And Bill Schmick writes about water becoming a rare commodity across the country. And on Earth Day, we think it's extremely appropriate to be thinking about this. We don't think about it enough.
Not nearly enough. And and what's interesting about if people take the time to read that article, then just do a Google search yourself for private water companies, like big companies, beverage companies, really stealing for pennies water supplies across this nation, so they can bottle and sell water on top of all that.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Because when you just go to the supermarket and look at all the beverages for sale in those plastic bottles, lots of different water, all kinds of beverages. That has a basis of water that is taken from somewhere. We don't think about it enough.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to Compass here, Cynthia. Mm-hmm. And right on the front there, you've got a big story, Empire Records, a memorable blue mohair sweater.
Boondocks Film Society continues to do interesting programming, and nice to have some place to go for a night out these days. And they're doing their next screening on May 1st up at Gedney Farm, and I just love that outfit on Liv Tyler. And, of course, there you have in the background Renee Zellweger. I think that's her first movie, playing a little teenage sex mom, Robin Tunney on another side. But they have the costume designer, and if you look at those clothes, I think the brilliance of the clothes in that movie is that they just look exactly like something that all of those kids would have woken up in the morning and thrown on. But so an article on what's coming up with the Boondocks Film Society, really funny article on streaming.
That's a great article by Bruce. Yeah, no, it is. It's a very humorous article by Bruce Prattick.
Right. I keep saying to my daughter now, in the before time, because it refers to so many things in our lives now. It makes me feel a little bit like I live in Game of Thrones. But so Bruce, a very interesting, thoughtful person, and has been watching a lot of Scandinavian programs in streaming, and gives you a really good mix of upbeat and funny and maybe a little bit darker. There's an open studio tour coming up in Armenia and some other towns that are farther south. But Tilly Strauss, who's very important to us here at the Lakeville Journal, has done a lot of wonderful drawings for us. She and her father, Dr. Julian Strauss, and her partner, Michael Galatly, are on this tour. And actually, we have a nice picture of them coming up next week's Compass by Laszlo Gyorcik from Cornwall. We have Patton, and, you know, there's a lot of, I don't want to interfere with anybody's privacy, but there's a lot of local connections to Patton.
Oh, Campbell Scott.
Okay, well, I didn't want to say it, but since you said it, yeah. So Campbell Scott, George C. Scott's son, is living in the area. But even more interesting, Jürgen Kolwa, who's a really, really brilliant writer, interesting conversationalist, and you can tell because he wrote the press release here, and I was like, wow, that's one of the best press releases I've ever read. He discovered that at his home in Sharon, which is right at the Cornwall border, actually right around the corner from you, yeah, from your old house, that the book that Patton, the film, is based on was written in his house. And so he started to dig into it, as journalists do, and so he's going to be doing a talk on it on May 2nd, which I've definitely signed up for. I think it's going to be fascinating. And anything that Jürgen talks about is always interesting. We have Victoria LaBalme, who we did a nice feature on a couple weeks ago, is doing a book signing and a talk with the Scoville Memorial Library. A lot of people are super itchy to go out hiking. People really were hiking and snowshoeing and tromping around, even in the snow this year, but it's getting nice, today's snow notwithstanding. And a lot of the land trusts are doing programs, either on Zoom or actually out in nature, and introducing people to some of their walks. And we are doing, for our special Towns and Villages this year, which comes out on May 20th, we're featuring all of the local land trusts, inspired in part by the whole conversation about what happened in the Twin Lakes area this year, where there was a lot of concern about conservation easement and whether or not it was being protected. So we wanted to really honor and shout out our area land trusts and the wonderful work they do. But you can find out on a personal level how you can benefit from it with some of these talks that are listed in Compass. And then this is the time of year when I'm out foraging for food, but you should not. If you don't know, if you're not with somebody who's very experienced and knows exactly what to pick and to eat, don't pick it and don't eat it.
let's not go through this again. That's right, like last year.
Oh, my gosh, last year. But having said that, University of Connecticut sends out these weekly nice things on planting, and there are a couple of plants that you can plant in your garden, and then you know exactly what they are that are edible. One of them is nasturtiums. There's also calendula, and then squash blossoms. But again, always check with your intelligent plant supplier about what actually is edible and what parts of the plant are edible.
You know, I want to get back to the book about the filming of Patton. You know, that's always been one of my favorite movies, and it's not a war movie. It really is a biography of a very important man, whether you appreciate him or not, in American history. It's and to have that local connection where the book was written right there is kind of cool. It really is.
It's extraordinary, and I remember seeing that as a young person when it first came out and sort of going like, oh, that's an interesting way to manage people. And I'd like to watch it again because, you know, there's that memorable scene where the soldier has shell shock, and he goes in, and he's so rough with that soldier. And it's a really interesting insight into how he, you know, handled those, you know, perfectly human natural troop anxieties.
And from that movie, I always remember the opening with the big American flag and him coming out, George Scott coming out as Patton speaking to the troops. Well, anyways, these stories and more in the Lakeville Journal and also the Millerton News. TriCornerNews.com is the website. Guys, we'll speak to you again next week.
Thank you so much. Bye.
That is this week in the Lakeville Journal. And as I said, TriCornerNews.com is where you can get all the information.